John chapter number 21. Our theme this year is by faith, and we'll be talking a little bit about that this morning. Throughout the year, we'll be looking at that idea of living by faith, giving by faith, serving by faith. But this morning, the Lord kind of led me to this passage of Scripture in John chapter 21. It is a little familiar to us as a church family. Back in November, I preached a message out of John 21. It is different than this one, but it talked about getting back to work on a Sunday night. But in John chapter 21 this morning, I'd like for us to look at this idea that Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" And that's what I like to do at the beginning of the new year, first Sunday morning here at 2018, looking forward to God to work, looking forward to God to bless. And what we need to understand is, do we really truly love Jesus? A lot of people say, they often say, hey, we love God. They use the words love in our prayers. We sing songs like, "My Jesus, I love thee. Oh, how I love Jesus," things like that. But the Apostle Peter here is asked Jesus, "By Jesus, lovest thou me?" Not only is he asked once, he's asked a second time, and he's asked a third time. We're going to look at the reasons why that happens, I believe, in the Scriptures. But Jesus wasn't excited about the first time he said it, or the second time. And that's why he kept on reminding him. He was trying to bring him to a focus. Now, I know asking that question, "Do you love me?" it can be kind of a little bit embarrassing. Sometimes, have you ever asked, had somebody ask you, "Do you love me?" And that's a little awkward sometimes. I remember when I was in the fifth grade. There was this girl in my class named Karen. She was the prettiest girl in the class. Of course, my wife is much prettier than she ever was, just to say that. Prettiest girl in the class, and I was a rotten kid. I was a spoiled brat, and I got punished numerous times. My teachers got a workout whipping me enough in school. But there was this girl in class who I thought was the prettiest girl in the class, and of course, I was the goofiest looking boy in the class, but I wanted to know if she liked me. So I wrote her a note and said, do you like me or love me? I don't remember exactly. He says, "Mark here for yes, mark here for no, mark here for not sure." You ever heard those notes? Yeah. The great thing was, before I gave this girl the note, another boy did. And that other boy, she laughed out loud. And this guy and the other boy was like a better kid than I was. She wasn't going to like him. She definitely wasn't going to like me. This other boy wrote out this note, "Do you like me?" And then she showed it to the whole class, and everybody laughed at the other boy. I laughed too. But it's because I didn't have to give my note. If I had waited, did it 10 minutes earlier, she would have been laughing at me. The question is, do you love him? And so here, when we come to Jesus Christ, Jesus is looking to Peter and he's saying, "Do you love me?" Because the Bible teaches us that we're supposed to love him with a love that is greater of a greater love for him than anything else. And Jesus needed to help Peter understand some things. And I know back in November we went over some of those things, but I really like to look at our hearts today. And I'd like for you to answer this question for yourself. Do I love the Lord? Now, and I'm not just talking love and just say, "Yeah, I love him. I sing about him and I serve and I do this and that." Is he our number one love? And that's what I'd like to just look at as a church this morning. But more importantly, individually, you look at your passion for him. You look at your love for him and you just ask yourself this question. Do I really love him like I should? Because when we talk about living by faith, and when we talk about serving by faith, when we talk about all these other things that we're supposed to be doing, it all boils down to this: do I love God the way I should? He tells us to love him with all our heart, all our mind, all our strength. Do we love him like that? Because if we loved him the way we are supposed to, all the other things would take care of themselves. Here in John chapter 21, we see in the story here that Peter, in the first couple of verses, you look here, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on the wise showed he himself. So verse number one, this is after the resurrection. Jesus has already appeared to all the disciples. This, I believe, is the third time you're going to see here that they appear. So they know Jesus had died, but they knew he had raised him from the dead. They knew that he was the Messiah. They knew that he was God. They knew what they were dealing with here. So remember, you understand that. Verse number 2, the Bible says, then were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. It adds up to be about six others. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. Now, as so many commentators believe that Simon here is backsliding because he is supposed to be living for God. He's supposed to be, Jesus had given something. He says, I want you to go to Galilee. I want you to wait there for me. Earlier, when Jesus had called Peter, he said, henceforth, you know, instead of fishing for fish, you're going to now fish for men. And many people think that Peter was tired of waiting. Peter probably felt awkward and didn't feel worthy because of the fact that he had denied Christ three times, because he had fallen asleep in the garden, because he had failed. He didn't feel like he was able to be a disciple anymore. So instead, he says, I'm going to go fishing. And not only does he go fishing and kind of backslides here, he takes some other disciples with them. And then while they're out fishing, they're not very successful. Let's go ahead and read through this very quickly, and then we'll get to the heart of the message found in verses 15 through 20. Simon Peter saith unto him, I go fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into the ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. So they were there and they were fishing all night. Now you can say, well, that's usually what happens when I go fishing. I don't catch anything either. Well, Peter here is an accomplished fisherman. He had his own fishing business. These other men were trained fishermen. This is what they did for a living. This is what their old life was like. This is what produced and what they did in their old life. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. So Jesus comes to the shore, and they didn't know it was him. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? The question is, did you catch anything? And they answered him, no. It's got to be the most truthful fishing story you ever heard. No, we did not catch anything. And it says, verse number 6, and he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. So we remember the story that when they had fished all night, didn't catch anything, the day that Jesus called Peter into service and called James and John into service was that same day they caught the miraculous amount of fish earlier. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, and that is John is talking to Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. So they find out it's Jesus. Peter wants to go see him. Peter's excited about seeing him. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish lay thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, and 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. So it's just showing with God and with God's approval that you can do supernatural things. And there was a huge number of fish. It says in verse number 12, Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. So Jesus prepares breakfast for them and a meal, and he provides these things for them. And in verse 14, this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So this is the third time they had fallen back, going back to their old lifestyle and their old ways, even though he was a risen Savior. Verse number 15, Jesus begins to talk to Peter. Now, I know people says, I wish I could have been there when Jesus did this. And I know people say, I wish I could have been there when Jesus did this and these miracles and this and that. And I agree. There's a lot of times I wish that I could have seen. I think it would have been cool that day in the resurrection morning when those soldiers saw the angel, or when everybody came and the tomb was empty. I think that would have been great. This is one of those times I would have liked to have seen how Jesus was talking to Peter. Because you have something here and in the story that is just touching, that you think that Jesus is being harsh and Jesus is being mean because he keeps on asking him over and over and over. But in all reality, Jesus is just trying to get him to the spot that he wants him to be at so he can succeed in service. Peter wants to serve him. Peter wants to be the person that God wants him to be. But there's a problem in his heart and there's a problem in his life. And the point is, he does not love him like he needs to. Or should. And Jesus is trying to draw him. And this morning, I'm praying that God works in your life through the preaching, teaching of his word, as he's worked in my heart over the last few days, that we'll know that we want to love him the way we should. So let's read here. And can you imagine this? And I'd like for you to picture yourself there. They've been out fishing all night. They're tired. They come to the boat, and they've kind of done something wrong. At least they're not sure about. You know, Jesus had told them, hence now you should fish for men. You know, they're there, and they had been fishing all night, and no one's talking about, well, Jesus, we were waiting for you because we were waiting. They weren't making excuses. They were sitting there quietly. You ever been caught doing something wrong? I've been caught doing something wrong before in my life, and sometimes you don't know how to respond. And it's kind of like Peter here. He knows he's done something wrong, and Jesus kind of taps him on the shoulder and say, hey, Peter, do you love me? And sometimes when I'm doing something that I know I shouldn't be doing, the Holy Spirit of God just comes up to me and taps me on the shoulder and says, do you love me? Because if you really, truly love me, you wouldn't be doing that. You ever been there before? You ever had somebody that you were doing something and you were planning on doing and that you got caught, and they turn around and says, if you really love me, how can you do that? And Jesus is saying here in verses 15 through 20, he's calling him into a ministry, but before he can get him where he needs to be to minister the way he's supposed to minister, you know what he's doing? He's helping him understand, you do not love me like you should, but I'm going to help you get there. And Christian, I think Jesus is coming and he's tapping us on the shoulder and he's asking us this question. He says, do you truly love me like you should? Because if you don't love me that way, I can help you get there. Verse number 15, Jesus is talking to him and he says, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter. Now, this is kind of neat. This is the first time I've read this passage of scripture numerous times. I've preached out it probably at least 4 or 5 times in my life. This is the first time I ever really noticed that he doesn't use the name Peter. You know, he had nicknamed him Peter because upon Petros, upon this rock, you know, he had nicknamed him Peter because he was going to be his rock man in a sense and help build the church. He wasn't going to build the church upon Peter. That's where the Catholics have it wrong. The church was built upon Jesus Christ, but he was going to be a help in that. And it says here, Simon, son of Jonas. Now, Peter was when he was in the ministry side of things. And he calls him Simon here, and that's his real name. But, you know, sometimes you have affectionate names for one another, or you have nicknames. And I know I call my son Andrew. My nickname for him is AJ. You know, he said, well, I never heard that before. Or I never heard that very often. It's because nobody else is allowed to call him that but me. So it's AJ. But when Andrew's doing something wrong, I don't call him AJ. I say Andrew. Sometimes it's Andrew Joseph. And if he's really in trouble, Andrew Joseph Pease. And that Joseph helps remind me, because that's my first name, that, you know, I'm not perfect either. So Andrew Joseph, you know, so AJ was like a nickname, but when he's in trouble, I'm using the name Andrew. And that's what I think Jesus is saying here. He wants to bring him back to Peter, and he's reminding him, Simon, there's something wrong here. There's something missing here. We need to get this fixed. And Jesus is coming to him, and I'd like for you to just imagine if that's you, Peter, and that you're sitting there. You love him, and you know there's something mixed up. You know there's something you need to work on. And then it really hurts when he says, lovest thou me? He's like, do you really love me? Let's look what it says. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now, he adds that phrase one time, more than these, and we're going to look at that in a second. Why I believe he did that. He saith unto him, yea, Lord. Now, we're not going to break down all the Greek meanings of the words, except for to tell you that there's different levels and sign the Greek language. There's 3 different words that use the word love. One is kind of just the word love. It's maybe a friendship, not very strong. Then there's another one that it refers to having an affection. And then there's one that's called agape love, and the idea that it's the type of love that God has for us, an extreme, a supreme love. And Jesus is saying to him, do you love me agape? Peter responds here, and he says, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He says, you know I have an affection for you. And then he responds, he saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Doesn't use the name Peter, uses Simon again. Lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter is grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verse 18, he begins to describe something and helps him understand, this is where you're going. This is what's going to happen. He says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. And Peter was a man who did what he wanted, said what he wanted, and you're going to have the opportunity to do as he pleased. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. And it says in verse number 19, this spake he, signifying by the death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Now Peter understood that he was referring to that he was going to die. He's going to be taken somewhere where he was going to be put to death. History tells us that he had died the death of the crucifixion. But Peter, according to history, tells us that Peter did not want to be crucified the same way Jesus was. Instead, out of respect for him, he didn't deserve to die. He asked to be crucified upside down. So what Jesus is telling him here, yes, Peter, we know that you love me, but this is what the love, if you love me, this is what's going to happen. Let's keep on going. And it says in verse 20, then Peter, turning about, see the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is that betrayeth thee? This is referring to John. Peter, seeing him to Jesus, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? He sees John. Jesus has just told Peter, you're going to have to give your life for me. He says, well, what's going to happen to John? And Jesus responds unto him. Jesus saith unto him, verse 22, if I, referring to Jesus, will he tarry, talking about John, till I come, talking about Christ's return, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. So the response is, Peter, don't worry about John. I want you to follow after me. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you really, truly just come and take over the sermon, and Lord, that you really, truly work in people's hearts and lives. Lord, help us to have that type of love. Help us to love you the way that you love us. Help us understand that that it's going to cost us something, but that it's also worth it. Lord, in this room, I believe there's people who have an affection for you. There's people who love you, but they may love other things more. And Lord, I pray that you just kind of work in our hearts and minds as we hear you talking to Peter, that you speak to us also, and you point out those things as you were pointing them out to Peter, saying, do you love me more than these? Lord, if there's something in our life that really truly is taking us away from you or is in competition with you, if there's something in our life that is dragging our spiritual lives down, God, I pray that you point it right out clearly to our hearts and say, do you love me more than these? And Lord, I pray that we make the decision that we want to love you with all our heart and all our mind and all our strength. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning's sermon might be a little harder to follow because it's some different thoughts, but I did try to make up at least a couple points. The first point I want you to see is the examination. The examination. Jesus is asking this question. Remember, Jesus knows what's in our heart already. Jesus sees and he knows Peter. When he says to him, lovest thou me more than these? Lovest thou me? He was not particularly impressed with the answer that Peter was given. Peter was confident. Yeah, Lord, you know I love you. Yeah, Lord, you know that I love you. And the third time he was grieved and he says, yea, Lord, you know us all things. You know that I love you. So Peter, I don't think the Lord is always impressed when we say we love him. Let's put it this way. You know, we some of us have children, some of us have grandchildren, and you know, your heart melts when your child looks at you and says, you know, Mom, Dad, I love you. And then they go play. Now, it does not mean as much when they say, Mom, Dad, I love you, and they don't listen to you. Like, for instance, if you're saying, hey, come down for breakfast, love you, Mom, and don't pay attention. Hey, I said come down for breakfast. Hey, I love you, Mom. No, you didn't listen to me. I said, come down for breakfast. Oh, I heard you, love you. It doesn't mean the same, does it? It kind of messes it all up, doesn't it? If you're not really willing to say, hey, I love the Lord, I love God, you know, he's coming to Peter, he says, look, Peter, I'm examining you, I see in your heart, there's something there, there's a love problem here, you don't love me like you should, and so I'm gonna bring this to your attention, and I'm gonna ask you this question, and I want you to think about it, and I want you to deal with this, and that's the point of preaching, that's the point of the Word of God. It's not just something to take in and listen to and not consider. It's not supposed to go in one ear and go out in the other ear. You know, the question is, do you love the Lord the way you should? Is there something that Jesus is pointing at your heart? Do you love me as much as you love? And you put the blank there. Jesus was not impressed because Jesus knew his heart. Now, on the outside, we can turn around and we can say, well, yeah, I love the Lord. I sing about it and I talk about him. But does Jesus know your love? The Bible says in Proverbs 17:3, the finding pot is for silver and the furnace for gold. But the Lord trieth the hearts. The Lord is asking you this morning, do you really love me the way you should? And this is the question, do you love me? So the first thing underneath the examination, this is the question, do you love me more than these? Now, this idea in verse number 17, there's a couple thoughts here. There's three different thoughts that people have. Some people think he's talking about the fish. Some people think he's talking about, do you love me more than these other disciples? We'll talk about that in a second. And some people believe, do you love these disciples more than you love me? And you say, well, what's the important thing? Well, in this examination this morning that we're going to be looking at, I want you to ask yourselves this question, do you love me more than these? And the first thing is, do you love me more than these fishes? You say, well, I don't even like fish. I don't even go fishing. It's the idea, do you love me as much as you love the old world? See, what Peter gives the example, when he says, I'm going fishing, this was Peter's pastime. This was Peter's old life. This was his former occupation. He was discouraged. It seems as if he was ready to quit. And that's when Jesus looks at him and says, do you love me now more than these? He's pointing maybe at the fish that are in the frying, that's getting fried up. Or maybe he's pointing at the 153 fish that are over there. He says, look, do you love me more than these? He's asking him, and he's doing it in front of the other disciples. He says, hey, look, this is your old life. This is your old world. Do you love me more than what the world has to offer for you? Because many times what Christians are doing today and they're struggling with is that they're supposed to love the Lord with all their heart and all their mind and all their strength, but they're having this attachment with the world and the things of the world and the things of their old life and the things that God saved them from. And Jesus is looking at him directly and saying, hey, do you love me more than you love your old life? That's a question we need to ask. Something we must consider. Do we love me more than my old life? This world has a lot to offer to you. I do think it ends with heartache and shame and guilt, but it does have something to offer you. And Jesus is saying, do you love me more than what this world has to offer? Because you're going to have to make that decision, because the love of the world, the love of the Father is not in that person. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And he's not talking about the birds and the trees. He's talking about the system of this world. He's talking about the prince and power of the air and the flesh. And he's talking about sinful things. And he's talking about what this world has to offer to you. And Jesus is saying, do you love me more than you love what the world used to give you? Second thing is, some people thought it was fish when he talks about more than these. Me personally, and of course, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but do you love me more than these other disciples? We go back just a few nights earlier. Of course, we don't know exactly when this is at, but right before Jesus was going to be crucified, he was telling his disciples. Peter very boastfully stood up and said, hey, Lord, yea, though all other betray you, I'll never betray you. He says, even though these other guys, and he probably even thinking in his mind, I was worried about these guys. It doesn't surprise me at all, Lord, that one of these guys is going to betray you. But Lord, me, I'll never betray you. He's saying, Lord, I love you more than these guys love you. And so you say, Pastor, what does that have to do? Peter, I think the Lord is reminding him of something. He's reminding him of that night when he turned around and said, Lord, I will never betray you. They might, but I'm not going to. He's reminding him of his pride. Then he's reminding him by saying it three times. I think he's reminding him of two different instances. Remember when he talked about denying Christ? How many times did he do that? He did it three times. Remember when Jesus asked him to watch him, James and John, to watch in the garden and ask if the price, as this is going to be one of the hardest things that anyone's, if not the hardest thing anyone's ever faced, will you please pray and watch with me? And what does he do? He falls asleep. How many times does he do that? Three times. So three times he has sinned. Three times he has sinned again. What is Jesus doing here? He's trying to get Peter to deal with his sin. And the question is, not only do you love me more than these, talking about what the world has to offer, do you love me enough to get right with your sin? Because what holds many people back from loving God the way he should is their sin. And some people's sin is something that they do repetitively and over. And even though God is pointing it at your heart and says, do you love me more than that bitterness? Do you love me more than that lustful thoughts? Do you love me more than that friendship? Do you love me more than this? That's what he's saying. Do you love me more than these? You've messed up over here. You had the sin before. You were prideful before. You were someone who thought he had it all figured out and that you loved me so much. Peter was famous for contradicting God. He contradicted Jesus over and over. He always thought he knew what was right. And Jesus is coming to him and saying, look, do you love me more than the old world has to offer? And do you love me enough to deal with that sin that's in your life and in your heart right now? The question is, do you love him that much? Do you love him enough to say, I know this is wrong, and I know this is hindering my relationship with God, and I love him enough to walk away from it? That's what Jesus is asking Peter to do here. And this morning when you're saying, yeah, I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus and how I can talk about him and how I can sing about him and how I even can preach about him. But Jesus is looking at you and saying, if you love me, do you love me as much as that sin that is right there that I've said something to you over and over about? That's why he says it three times to him, I believe. Second thing, not only do you see the examination, I think you see the expectation. So what do you mean? Love always has a response. Not only must we love our Lord and have it as a priority, there's also a purpose in it. Each time Peter said to him that he loved the Lord, Jesus responded, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Love is not an abstract thought or idea. It always has a tangible object. The fact that God is love is great, but the fact that he loves me is even more wonderful. He even proved and demonstrated his love. But God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Love has an object and it's tangible. It has a response. There is an expectation. God does not simply want us to say that we love him. He wants us to demonstrate that love. He says, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. And what I'm seeing here is that God and Jesus is here saying, I expect you to serve me the way I want you to. Now, don't miss this. So many of us say that we love him. So many of us say, this is the way, this is what Peter was doing. Peter, I loved you. And Peter's like, remember the time when Jesus had told Peter and the disciples that he was getting ready to be offered up? What did Peter do? He said, no, Lord, that's not going to happen. What did Jesus have to say to him? Get thee behind me, Satan. He said something like this, thou savorest not the things of God. See, Peter was good at wanting to do things his own way. It had to be my way, Lord. I don't think you should go to the cross. I don't think you should die. I don't think you should be given over to the hands. And Jesus is teaching him something, and he's saying something. If you love me, and you love me more than what the world has to offer, you love me enough to get humble and get right with God. Now, when you're serving, you need to do it by faith. You need to do things my way. So often Peter would disagree with him. No, Lord. No, Lord. Now that's not the way it's going to be. It's not the way it's supposed to be. This is my idea. This is my plans. And so many times in our Christian lives, that's what we want, the way we want it. But if we truly love him the way we should, it's not going to be about the way we want it. It's going to be a life of faith, doing things his way. To whom or what is your love directed to? Jesus says, my little children, let us not love in word, not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Like I said, I think there's people when Jesus would come to you and say, do you love me? You could say, Lord, you know I love you. And he looks at our hearts and he says, you're missing something. You're missing something here. Do you really love me more than this, what this world has to offer? Do you really love me enough to get that sin ready? Do you love me enough to do things the way I've asked you to do it? Because God does not need the love. You know, we demonstrate love to others by doing things for them. We demonstrate love by giving gifts. We demonstrate, you know, how does God say we love him? He says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. You say, Pastor, you're talking to us. We work hard and we do things and we serve and we do this and we do that. And I know that. But the Lord is trying your heart. He's not trying your actions. He's not trying your service. To him, it's most important is his heart. If you think about what it says in Revelation chapter 2, you can go there if you want. Revelation chapter number 2, there's a letter written to the church of Ephesus. And the church of Ephesus sounds like on the outside to be a great church. It says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil and how thou hast tried them which they say they are apostles and are not and hast found them to be liars and hast borne them as patience and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. And that church in Revelation chapter number 2, it says that they work, they labor, they have patience, and it talked about how they continued on. They did not faint. But Jesus says something about that church. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. He says, I see all your service. I see all your work. He says, but I have something against you. You're not doing it out of a heart of love for me. You've left that love. The reason why you started it to begin with, the reason why you've left your first love. And then Jesus responds, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because I have left thy first love. He says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. He's saying to that church, I see all that you're doing, but you don't love me while you're doing it. Church, do we love them the way we should? I know I'm talking to people that I know many of you serve and work very hard, just like that church of Ephesus. But he says, there's something lacking here. There's something missing. Just like Peter, do you love me more than these? Yeah, Lord, you know I love you. Yeah, Lord, of course I love you. Yeah, Lord. And he says, there's something off. There's something we need to work on. Last thing here, not only do we see that we need to, and it kind of goes hand in hand, but I want you to see that he says to him at the end of verse number 22, follow thou me. He expects us to do things the way he wants them done. That's when he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's God. He's saying, if you truly want to show me that you love me, stop, you know, doing this, this, and this. Keep my commandments. I'd rather you obey me than keep on just giving little, you know, doing little things to show your love. Obey me first and let me lead and direct you. Next thing he says, follow me. And he says in verse 22, if I will that thou tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And he says it to him that Peter in verse number 19, he says, follow me. What does Christ expect? He expects you to do it the way he wants it done. You know, that comes with forgiveness. That comes with treating your husband right, treating your wife right, treating your brothers and sisters right. Yeah. He said, what are you getting at? I don't think God wants to hear you say to people, I love God, and then treat your wife wrong. I love God, and then treat your husband wrong. I love God, and then you can't even get along with your brother or sister. I love God, but I can't do anything to help someone else. I don't think that's what he's saying here. I want you to follow me. I want you to do things the way I've asked you to do, and I want you to follow me. Follow means that we follow after him and follow after his ways. Peter gets a little bit messed up here when he says to him, what about John? And so many times I think we get a little messed up in this world too when we turn around and we compare ourselves to others. We turn around and say, well, this guy's not doing what he should. He really doesn't love you. You know what you're talking like? The Peter, the night before he slept on Jesus, and the night before he betrayed Jesus. he was saying, yeah, you can count on me. I think he was sincere. I think he really thought that Christ, I think he thought his love was where it was supposed to be. And he didn't think there was going to be any problems, that he was able to pull out the sword. He was able to do all these things. He was sincere. Jesus says, stop doing it your own way and now follow after me. So do you love him like that? Do you love him like you should? And I'm not talking that boastful way that Peter was. I got this, God. I can do this. We got this. You can count on me. No, I'm not talking about that, because we saw what happened there after a man that did that with sincerity couldn't watch with Jesus, couldn't be praying with Jesus, and was denying Christ and was put on the back burner until Jesus come to him and says, do you love me? Do you love him this morning? And I'm not talking about you looking at yourself and according to your ways. Do you love me? Jesus Christ is looking at your hearts. He's not looking at your actions, because if your heart is right, your actions will be right. He's not looking at all your service, because if your heart's right, your service is going to be right. And he's asking you this question, do you love me more than the world? Do you love me more than that sin that is holding you back? Because if not, let's get it worked on. And then he says, if you love me the way you say you do, it's going to cost you something. I'm going to expect something from you. I'm going to expect that you follow me. And I'm going to expect that you obey me. Because if you don't, then you don't love me like you should. This morning, I want God to work in our hearts and our minds. I want God to work in your life. He is easy to love because he first loved us. He's easy to love because he demonstrated his love toward us when he died for us. And if you're here this morning and you do not know Christ as your personal Savior, this is a message about the love affair that God has with his people and how we should respond to that love and say, God, because you died for me and because you gave your life for me, there should not be anything I'm not willing to do. And I want to love you with all my heart. And I want to love you with all my mind. I want to love you with all my strength. That's what the Christian's response is. But I think God can point and look at our hearts and say, do you love me like that? And if not, why? I can help you through this. That's what he's saying. I can help you through it. But you're going to have to be willing to humble yourself. That's what happens to Peter. He said, Jesus was wrong for doing it in front of the other disciples. Well, Peter did it in front of the other disciples. Probably all the other disciples were out fishing that same night. They probably had all the same issues, but he's reminding Peter. He's telling Peter. He's calling Peter. He's placing him back in the group. And this is what Jesus wants to do with you. He wants you to love him like this so he can use you and so you can follow him. Do you love him that way? Let him touch your heart and say, do you love me? Whatever it is that you're going through and whatever it is that you're struggling with, just as Peter struggled, he looked at him and says, do you love me more than that? Because if you love me more than that, you're going to allow me to help you get through this. Because with his word and with his spirit and with the right heart, you can overcome anything with God's power and God's strength. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.